From a presentation called Drugs in Your Cornflakes on February 5th, 2007, this is Josh Brandon of Greenpeace speaking about corporate involvement in biopharmacy and the risks involved.
Josh Brandon is a genetic engineering campaigner for Greenpeace, the worldwide environmental organization, and is based here in Vancouver. Josh has been involved in food politics and activism for more than 10 years and is also on the steering committee of GE Free BC. He is currently playing a central role in a new campaign to get mandatory labeling of GE foods in BC. Now we'll begin with Josh Brandon then, who will introduce the issue of corporate biopharmaceuticals and talk about contamination risks.
Thanks, Eleanor. Now, like Eleanor said, the reason for this forum is to discuss the topic of biofarming. Biofarming refers to the use of genetically engineered crops and genetically engineered organisms to produce new drugs. And here in Vancouver this week, there's representatives from the biotechnology industry from across North America and around the world to discuss this topic. If you are interested in going to that forum, tickets for that actually cost $1,800, and probably most of us don't have that kind of money, but I think it's really important that everyone have a say in important topics like this. So this forum we organized is free so that everyone can have some input. Now, imagine that you found out that someone had tampered with your breakfast cereal and that traces of unapproved, untested experimental drugs had gotten into your cornflakes. You'd probably call the police or expect massive recalls of this product. You'd certainly expect the government to act, to intervene, to ensure that there were regulations in place to ensure that it didn't happen again. But what if it was the government that was actually complicit in this whole problem? Because that's not far off from what is actually happening. Not only are the departments responsible for the quality of the food supply, not providing sufficient testing of your food to prevent such contamination, there's actually, governments are actually promoting and funding the companies that are experimenting with food crops and to create genetically engineered drugs. Here in Canada, over the past 5 years, there's been 35 tests of GE pharma crops. The crops tested include soybean, safflower, and tobacco. Worldwide, major crops that are being tested include corn, soybean, and rice. And these are major food crops, so there's a lot of potential for danger here. Now, through government-funded agencies, governments are actually providing millions of dollars of support for biotech research and promotion. A few years ago, Greenpeace conducted a petition to the federal government for information regarding what they're doing to regulate pharma crops. And through that process, what we found is that the federal government alone is subsidizing corporations to the tune of about $1 million a year directly for promoting pharma crops. So it's, we all have a direct financial interest as well as a health and ethical interest in this issue. Biofarming is one of the biggest fields of investment for biotechnology and chemical companies over the past few years. Some of the major players include Dow, Protegene, and Meristem, among others. But it's interesting, actually, because some of the major biotech companies like Monsanto are starting to shy away from this technology just because it is so risky. And so what we're finding is that a lot of the research is being conducted by small companies like Symbiosis in Calgary, so that large transnationals are able to offset some of these costs and some of these risks, actually. Now, the classes of pharmaceuticals that biotech companies are targeting as potential uses for GE organisms include protein therapeutics as well as vaccines and other drugs. scientists are creating genetically engineered plants that can be used to create these specialized proteins, such as insulin, that have important medical applications. And the incentives for these companies are vast. The protein therapeutics industry, for example, represents the fastest growing sector of the drug market. It's already a $50 billion industry worldwide. And a lot of these companies would like to see GE Pharmacrops take over a major role within that pool of investment. There are several advantages for looking for transgenic organisms as incubators for these drugs. The capital costs in current protein research are quite immense, often on the order of several hundreds of millions of dollars to produce a new drug, even in small quantities. Now, with GE organisms, once the initial breeding stock is created, production costs will decline rapidly. So estimates vary depending on the different type of product, but production could be 4 to 10 times cheaper using GMOs to produce the drugs. So this is the rationale that the industry totes. They want us to imagine cheaper production methods and therefore cheaper drugs. But there's some uncertainty around this because the real rationale for drug companies is represented in a recent industry report that notes that protein therapeutics enjoy a much lower threat from what they call generic erosion. That's where generic drugs can enter into the marketplace. And the article argues in such situations, the bargaining power of HMOs, public and private payers and patients is limited such that they are virtual monopolies. In other words, patent protections are going to be stronger and the profits to industry are going to be consequently higher. So within the current patent context, there's little reason to believe that genetic engineering will result in any savings for the public. So we know who the beneficiaries of these technologies are then. What about the risks and who bears them? The risks we're most concerned about at Greenpeace are firstly that the GE crops will be released into the environment, and secondly the fear that they may contaminate the food supply. And given the current regulatory measures in both Canada and the US, both these dangers are imminent. GE crops regularly contaminate food supplies through a number of sources. You have wind and insect pollen that can travel hundreds of meters or even several kilometers and crossbreed with neighboring non-GE crops. Also, what is planted one year can show up the next year or in subsequent years as volunteers. You often see this in gardens. You plant your seeds, and then the next year you never know what's going to pop up. Thirdly, there's mixing of grains in transport and processing, as the same containers and equipment are frequently used for GE and non-GE crops. So because of crossbreeding and extensive contamination, very little of Canadian canola, for example, can be classified as non-GE. Last year, these problems were again highlighted when genetically modified rice showed up in 40 countries around the world. Rice farmers across the U.S. were economically affected by resulting restrictions imposed on rice, U.S. rice imports to Europe and many other countries, and dozens of lawsuits have resulted from that. Governments frequently use a kind of doublespeak to try to explain away some of these problems associated with GE. So, for example, in Canada, they talk about confined field trials. And the use of the word confined in this context is it's rather liberally applied, because essentially what they mean by confined is an open field. And this isn't exactly a high security situation. There may be conventional crops grown right adjacent to the experimental confined field. And although there are some regulations in place, these are often not followed. So in the U.S., there's been serious breaches of food security in regards to GE. And the biofarming industry is actually no better than the rest of the biotech industry. A 2005 audit by the U.S. Animal Plant and Plant Health Inspection Service found that only 1 in 12 industrial and pharmaceutical test sites that they looked at had followed all the prescribed inspections. And at one site in particular that APHIS inspected in Nebraska in 2003, they found that the permit holder had failed to leave the field fallow as required. The farmer admitted to actually having cut down the crop the day before the inspectors had arrived, but he left the soybeans growing in an adjacent field. So there's almost guaranteed contamination in this situation. Had the inspectors not come by, GE Pharmaceuticals were one step away from the food chain. Another important instance was the case of Protegene. This is a U.S. chemical and drug company with permits to produce a wide variety of vaccines and therapeutic proteins. In 2002, officials found volunteer pharmaceutical corn growing in a Nebraska soy field. 500,000 bushels had to be destroyed. They were fined $3 million. In a similar incident in Iowa, Protegene's corn had actually contaminated 155 acres. And although Protegene was forced to destroy these crops, it's likely that there had been contamination in the following year's crops or in neighboring fields. We really don't know. Now, afterwards, what did Protegene do about this situation? You'd think in a situation like this, they'd really tighten their restrictions. But immediately afterwards, in 2004, they went to the USDA, the US Drug Administration, and proposed laxer safety standards for a wide variety of pharmaceuticals, such as reducing the isolation distances, for example. And eventually, they thought that most drugs should move towards deregulation, with business interests determining what segregation measures should be used. So that's the kind of attitude that we're dealing with in the biotechnology industry. Here in Canada, the regulation of GEs plagued by similar lack of oversight. The Royal Society of Canada has lots of recommendations that unfortunately weren't followed. In 2002 and 2004, genetically engineered pigs in Ontario and Quebec actually made it into the food supply. So there's all kinds of problems. And I'll just conclude here with a couple of recommendations that are some minimal steps of caution. And the first is that there should be a ban on all outdoor testing and production of genetically engineered organisms, including pharmacrops. Given the risks of GE organisms contaminating the environment and the food supply, we can't afford to leave their containment of GE susceptible to the vagaries of weather and nature. And the second recommendation I have is that experiments in GE biopharmaceuticals should only be conducted on non-food crops so as to minimize the risk of contamination. Interestingly, this was the position taken by the director of the Plant Biosafety Office of the CFIA last year in a CBC interview. So if the government can't follow the advice of activists like myself, it should at least listen to its own top bureaucrats on this issue. And thanks for the opportunity to speak. Thanks.
This speech was part of a presentation called Drugs in Your Cornflakes at the Vancouver Public Library, February 5th, 2007. It was recorded by Alex Smith of Radio EcoShock. Visit our website at www.ecoshock.org and listen to our weekly program on CFRO Co-op Radio every Friday at 1 o'clock Pacific Time, also available on the web at www.coopradio.org/listen.